Thanks so much for tuning in to Last Rockers TV, the podcast. I'm Erin Micklow, and since 2017, I've been traveling the world interviewing punk rock bands and filming their live sets for my DIY video interview show on YouTube. So if you'd like to see this interview in video, head over to Erin Micklow on YouTube to watch. And if you're interested in advertising your products or brand on this channel, you can email me at lastrockerstv@gmail.com. And lastly, if you'd like to further support my DIY outlet, please subscribe, share this podcast, and leave a review so I can keep creating this content for you. Thanks again for being here.
Show on three. Whoa!
Hi, my name is Erin Micklow, and I'm here with Mike Herrera from MXPX. How are you?
I'm great. How you doing, Erin?
Good. So nice to see you. The last time we saw each other, we did a live stream interview when your new album came out back in September.
Yes, yes. You look great.
Thank you.
Hair is looking great. My hair, I feel a little emasculated right now. I don't know. I should put it up more. I'm actually growing out my mohawk, though.
Are you? It looks good.
Getting a mullet a little bit.
It looks really good.
Time for a change sometimes.
Yeah. Well, the mullets are kind of trendy right now.
Are they trendy?
At least in England, they are. For sure.
I didn't even know that.
Everybody's doing, like, it's a thing. It's a whole ass thing.
I want to hear. I'm gonna study up on that. Okay. I accidentally went into a trend.
Well, so we're here tonight at the Palladium. You're playing with Less Than Jake, Smoking Popes, and Reliant K. And when we did our live stream interview back in September, you had just announced this show. Can you talk about, you know, the planning of this show tonight to make it possible? The Palladium's a huge venue. It's sold out. Tons of people here.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing that it's sold out. We're stoked. We knew we wanted to have a bunch of our friends on the show. It's kickoff 2024, first show of the year. And the new album's out. We haven't done a ton of headlining shows since the album's been out. We've been mostly doing, well, we've been headlining, but it's been festivals.
Yeah.
So it's a little shorter of a set. So now we have, like, all the time in the world. But back to, you know, putting it together, we knew we wanted Less Than Jake. We wanted Smoking Popes. We wanted Reliant K. It took a little while to get Less Than Jake because they were busy, but then we got them. And so we just started, you know, spreading the word. Tom and I actually came out here over the summer and we're in front of the Palladium, just like talking about the show and doing, you know, doing our promos and stuff. And that sort of kicked it off. But doing Las Vegas it was in November. Actually, we did Las Vegas when we were Young Fest.
Yeah.
That was another sort of like key point of playing, telling people we're going to be in at the Palladium in Hollywood. I feel like I've just been talking about it a ton, and people that have seen maybe every interview or seen every time I've posted about it, they're probably sick of me. But you know, these days you just got to keep telling people because so many people miss it. You know, they're like right there and they miss what you hear. So I always tell bands, like, you got to tell people like 7, 8, 9 times about a show before it gets into their brains.
Yeah, but like even, you know, different pieces of content, but similar. Like I was talking to a girlfriend that works in entertainment a couple weeks ago, and she was talking about that, about like the 3 points of marketing, right? Where it's like you kind of want to post one and then post another one right after it. And she likened it to movies because she's an actress. And she goes, don't you ever notice how when you see a movie billboard, there'll be another one of the same poster right after it on like the next thing that you see, and then there'll be another one. And I was like, oh, I don't know if I ever noticed that. Yeah. But it's like apparently, like, you know, marketing techniques that are like as old as time. And it's, you know, regurgitating that like really close to each other to get people to, you know, retain
you
the
keep
information.
Hitting it with it. Keep hitting them. I mean, it's I'm no expert. I never went to college. I graduated high school, but just been doing bands ever since. But just being in a band really kind of gives you that lived experience. You know, you kind of know what works sometimes and eventually something that used to work doesn't work. Right.
Yeah.
Whether it's a song you write, like a type of song or whatever, you got to just keep, you know, freshening up, keep in reinventing yourself in some ways. And I don't know, I feel like, you know, having our friends out on the tour, you know, Less Than Jake, Reliant K, we're all friends with all of those guys.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit about like just living the dream. Like, what do we want to do if we could just choose to do it? Now, you know, a lot of people go like, oh, you know, you should tour with all these different bands. And we'd love to tour with any, you know, there's so many bands we'd love to tour with, like Green Day, you know, any of those big bands that inspired us when we got started, right?
Yeah.
The Clash, probably not going to happen. the Descendants could still happen. You know, we're good friends with them. So there's a couple bands that we, you know, haven't really played with a lot that we would still love to play with. Green Day, we used to play with them on Warped Tour, all that. But, you know, for us, it's just like, wow, all you look around and all these punk bands are doing really well.
Yeah.
So there must be either a reinsurgency of punk rock, either people are loving punk rock, emo, all of this alternative type music or whatever. But I don't know. We're just taking it, taking the ball and running with it and having fun. It's all about, I was just talking to JR from Less Than Jake, and he's just like, man, it's all about having a good time, because if we're out here and we're not happy, what's the point?
Yeah.
And it's like, you're preaching to the choir.
Help us out with this. If you don't want to hear.
I like your audiences. In the pop punk community, your audiences are much more friendly than some of the other subcultures of punk, you know, the umbrellas.
Yeah.
I like yours. I like your fan base. They're nice.
Yeah, our fan base is so great. Our fan base is so cruel. And in punk rock and in the style that MXPX does, we really keep it positive. We really push positivity. And yes, there's songs that are negative. There's songs that, you know, about having the worst day. But we always try to turn that around. And even if the song itself isn't a positive song,
yeah,
in between songs, you'd be like, all right, everybody, thanks for coming out. Have a great time. Like, we're just encouraging everybody. And I feel like all the bands playing tonight kind of have that vibe, a positivity to them.
Well, your music is upbeat, too.
So yeah,
even if you don't know the lyrics and you're not listening to the lyrics, just the tempos are really upbeat.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's one of those things where, I mean, you could write about a million things, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I do write plenty of songs where it's just like, this is the worst thing ever. I'm having the worst day. But usually when I'm writing a song like that, I lose that mood. I get into better moods eventually. And I go like, I don't want to say that anymore. I feel like weird about saying that.
Yeah, just say
and
it
so
like
I always,
a happy way.
I always change it up and make it more positive or something like that. I know that's probably, there's probably some flaw in that, but I don't know. Just can't help it.
Well, so with you guys being a band for 32 years, can you talk about the moment that you feel like made a huge shift of the turning point of what made you into the successful band that you are today?
You know, I would say we've had so many ups and downs along the way. We started out doing indie tours, playing anywhere we could. Our first couple tours, like, we ended up touring with Face to Face pretty early on. That was a pretty good jump into it. And then we started doing Warped Tour early on, 97. Was our first time doing Warped and playing to big crowds. And we didn't really, you know, we weren't planning to be a band. We didn't know we were going to be a band. Doing this past high school, it was just kind of like, let's just do it for fun. But over the years, of course, the Napster stuff and the economy has crashed a few times here in the U.S. at the very least. there's been ups and downs. And around 2007, it was really bad. Like, shows weren't doing well. Albums weren't selling because that was like the Napster thing. Everything was going digital. It was like transitioning. And I think, you know, if I'd give any advice to bands that are trying to find that longevity and they're working at that, honestly, it's just stay the course and you get through all those hard parts. Like, of course, we had to like try things and do things. But what I mean is just don't quit.
Yeah.
You might do less of this, less of that, change it up, but never completely quit. And because if you quit, then you can't be successful. And I honestly think MXPX has been successful because we just haven't quit. You know!
That, and like, I feel like, you know, you came in the time where, you know, MTV was really doing a lot and they played you guys a lot. And that, you know, really solidified you and helped get you out there. And then that mixed with you not quitting. You know, it was like MTV had a huge audience at that time. And it was, I was watching a really funny interview the other night, and they were talking about like a lot of the Christian rockers and like in that genre. And then like the MTV host was like saying, "You guys are the ones giving your genre a bad name," because they were angry. And it was like, it was just like the time of like, you know, like the late 90s where people were just opinionated, but it wasn't like what it is today where people kind of had this, I don't know, wokeness that we do now.
Yeah, it's different. Like, were you watching media, like a YouTube clip from
it was back like in the that day? Really old one.
Yes.
It was a YouTube clip, and it was them talking about like secular music and all of that, and they're like, "We're here for Jesus." Like, they were angry about it. Yeah. And it was really funny. The MTV host asked them, he's like, "Well, did MXPX ever say they were a Christian band?" And they were like, "Well," and they're like,
yeah.
Because they were coming for you of like, "Well, they shouldn't turn their backs." And then the guy was like, "Well, did they ever say they were?" And then they, because you never did. You started as a youth group and you were playing in that because that's, you were kids.
Yeah.
You know, and that was what you believed in. And I liked what you said in another interview about like, you know, it's just like people needing something to believe in, whether it's church or the PMA, that, you know, the hardcore band. Or even just in punk, like you go to a punk show and everybody's regurgitating the same ideas, and it's not a bad thing, but it's like, it's kind of like our morals.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Absolutely. Yeah. Having some sort of structure, I guess, is important for people. As an individual, I've believed so many different things in my life, you know? So it's like to have so many songs that maybe I don't feel exactly the same way that I used to about.
Yeah.
But I wrote when I was such a kid, you know, so young. It's kind of weird because now I'm an adult. I might feel differently, but I have this thing where it's like, "No, but you said that." It's like, "Yeah, but I was like 16. So I you know,
well,
I only knew what I knew.
You were exposed to. You were mm-hmm. a youth group. Like, and like
exactly.
I told you in our live stream interview, like, I grew up going to Catholic school and to church. And it's like when that's all you know until you can start to form your own opinions.
Yeah. Honestly, I credit the internet. The internet really opened my eyes. I started, you know, not that I was researching things, but just the information comes in as you consume different media and different interviews and different people talking. I was like, wow, I started learning so much outside of what I had known previously, you know, as a kid. So yeah, I'm very open to anybody out there that believes what they believe. I'll give them the benefit of the doubt because I've believed crazy things, you know, in my life. So as long as people are cool, I'm cool with them, you know? Let's have a good time.
Exactly. I heard you say in another interview, you know, a lie will spread 90 times faster than a truth. So if you could make up one lie to, for people to spread about you, what would it be? What's a lie you want to tell to people watching this that you would love to just take fire and spread?
Hmm. How many inches? 9? 12? What sounds right? Because if I admit that it's a lie, then I'm telling you it's not true. I'm a nice guy. Believe it. You never want to be a nice guy, though. Everybody says I'm a nice guy, but it's like, I'm nice to people, but I'm not a nice guy.
It's like a good juicy one. I think if somebody asked me that question, I would say, I would want someone to say I was the daughter of like a famous rock star, because then maybe I'd actually get more credit than I do. You know, like,
but you know what? Honestly, like,
so if someone could spread a land outlet.
If there's haters, that means you're doing something right.
Yeah.
And I always said that back in the day, and even today, if people are against you about something, it's just you're getting out there. You're getting into the zeitgeist. You're getting into society, into the culture, of whatever it is. For this, it's like punk rock and music. But honestly, I feel like it's almost like a balance. It's like you can't have too much good luck. Like if you're betting on like, okay, this team's going to win the game, I'm bet. And then that team's going to win the game, I'm going to bet. Like you're going to win some of those bets maybe, but I feel like life has a way of balancing it out for you.
Yeah.
Maybe it's the algorithm if it's like a digital thing, but like I think life has an algorithm in a way.
Yeah.
And so I see haters as, that's a healthy part of the algorithm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So just,
sure.
It should fuel you. keep you going.
You know, that's a whole topic for another time, but it's definitely a different story being a woman.
Yeah.
A woman in a, you know, a male-dominated genre.
In a man's world.
Not even in a man's world, but... So I did see... I have to bring this one up because I'm freaking obsessed with the show. You were on Fixer Upper.
Yes.
Found that little nugget last night when I was digging away, and I was like, what can I ask that has not been asked to you before? And I was like, shut up. Because I've lived in a lot of Fixer Uppers, and when I moved into my most current one, I was obsessed with that show. And when I saw that you were on it with your wife and your children, I was like, oh my God!
Yes.
I was so excited. I fangirled so hard.
Sometimes, like, I'll be at a hotel or, like, an airport or a truck stop, and an older couple will, like, hey, stop me. And I'm like, and everybody's around, and they're like, what are they doing? Like, MXPX. But they don't say MXPX. They go, you were on that TV show. Fixer Upper, right? And I'm like, oh yeah, like, you know. So I have to, like, I don't know, not expect that it's always about MXPX. Sometimes it's about Fixer Upper. But yeah, we were on that show, and honestly, we weren't planning to do it. Like, my wife was watching the show a lot, and I watch it with her.
Yeah.
And then one day I came home from work, studio, and work. I like to treat myself as if I'm a normal person, but. I came home and she goes, I signed up for the show. If we get on the show, we got to get a place in Texas.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, no problem. I'm thinking, what is she talking about? Like, this ain't going to happen, right?
Yeah.
And it didn't happen, but we were in Texas for the holidays that year. And we were leaving Texas. We were in Houston, leaving to go back to Seattle. And I tweeted to Chip Gaines, said, hey, this family's ready to move to Texas, pick us for the next season. Yeah. We didn't even know it was the last season of Fixer Upper.
Because that was when they separated, right?
Was that what ended it? No, they didn't separate. They just stopped. They ended their contract with the TV studio.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. A whole other story, of course. But so anyway, I saw the tweet. He tweeted back, how can I say no to these beautiful people or whatever he said.
Did you put like a picture or something?
We put a picture. And the picture was like, Texas or bust. Like, let's go. It was all my wife. And that was the nail in the coffin. And I had to buy a house in Texas. So we bought the cheapest house we could find in Texas, in Waco, Texas.
Yeah.
And they fixed it up.
It's beautiful.
It is absolutely beautiful. It's immaculate. It's got a library wall, which is something my wife and I both love. Just books and books and books.
Yeah.
It's amazing. So, yeah, I mean, it's, for me, it's weird because we don't live there full time. We kind of go part of the year.
Yeah.
And when I'm busy with MXPX, I pretty much just fly in, say hi to everybody, and then fly back out. That's what's gonna happen this year is just I'll just be in Waco like after shows, not this show. I'm just gonna go back to Bremerton, but it's been good. I'm sure people don't really care that much about Waco, but it's pretty wild. I mean, Waco is it's almost a college town.
Okay.
So you know, a lot of really nice people, a lot of hillbillies, a lot of Texas hillbillies. But I think it's good for me culturally to just spend some time somewhere else rather than just Bremerton or L.A. or wherever.
But is it harder for you because you're the heavily tattooed one? Do you have a hard time there?
Yeah, I mean, nobody cares. No, I mean, I don't think these days it's as big of a deal. Like when we used to be on planes, Yuri, our drummer, would be in front of me and I'd be behind and people would be... Or I'd be in front and he'd be behind and when I'd pass, people would start talking about it. That was like 10 years ago, 15 years ago. I think people are so used to tattooed freaks everywhere all the time that it's not as big of a deal. Or I've just gotten used to it. One of the two.
No, there is more acceptance. Like when I go out with my hair up, most of the time now people love it.
Yeah.
And it's only a small portion of places where you run into some, you know, conservative people and they really, you know, they're not about it.
Yeah, yeah.
At all. I remember being at the New York airport of all places. It wasn't that long ago. It was maybe like 2019. And this older couple were going through the security lines and they were filming me. And you pass them every time. And so I was pissed. And so I barked at them because yeah. they can't kick you out for that.
Right,
like,
right.
And then they didn't do it again.
So you had your hair up going through the airport. So you're on the plane
yeah.
with your hair like
I didn't
this.
Have time to wash it out.
Yeah.
Like I had it up from the night before and then like slept late and was like, oh shit, I gotta get to the airport,
yeah.
you know, and didn't have time.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So you're on somebody's TikTok or whatever. I'm sure they don't have TikTok. But...
I don't know. But I mean, so do you experience that in Waco that there's some people still that are just like, what the fuck is this?
I mean, I don't know.
Just don't look.
I don't know. I don't pay attention that much. And being a, it's not like my hair is pretty normal for the most part. And so tattoos, not a big deal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess tattoos are definitely like a lot more accepted now than they used to be.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, so a lot of it is I wanted to ask, what's the most rewarding parts for you about, you know, being a husband and a dad? I didn't really know. Yeah. I didn't know you were. I knew you were married. I didn't know you had children.
Two kids. Yeah. Two kids. It's
until watching.
It's still new. I mean, we lived most of our lives. We lived all our young adult lives, no kids, and just traveled all over the place and did what we did and finally we're like, oh, let's try it. And so 10 years ago we had kids. Aww. And it's been amazing. Yeah. It's definitely changes how we travel, you know, with the band and stuff a little bit. But for the most part, it's been the best thing. It's been so good. Yeah. It really has been. So I love my kids.
What's your favorite part about being a dad?
Just having people that love you and don't know you're a douchebag, don't know you're a jerk, don't know, like, they just love you. Like, as long as you know, feed them and, you know, clean them every now and again, they love you. Yeah, it's pretty amazing. It's like,
enjoy it while you can. Wait like, till they're teenagers.
Yeah, right. That's what a lot of my friends say. They're like, yeah, just wait till they're older.
Just soak it in now.
That's when I start going on tour a lot more. Yeah, let's start hitting that tour.
Cute. Well, so last question, because I don't want to take up too much more of your time. What else is coming up for you personally and for the band?
Coming up, we have a bunch of shows coming up with the Ataris. MXPX and the Ataris are hitting the road. New York, Philadelphia, Atlanta, Orlando, Denver, Salt Lake City. Half of those shows are sold out, so I apologize if you want to go to like Salt Lake City or Denver or Philly or whatever. Those are sold out. But a bunch of them aren't. We're planning to come to Australia. It's not announced yet, so don't go looking for tickets yet. We're planning to come back to South America. We're planning to come to the UK and Europe. We're planning to come back to Canada. All parts, some parts, I don't know exactly, but and then more USA dates. So I mean, we're pretty much trying to play live this year as much as we can, supporting the new album, Find a Way Home. We're really excited about that, and just, you know, getting to play new songs live is probably a band's favorite thing to do usually, because you play all these songs many times, and which I don't mind playing any of our songs ever live, but playing new songs is like, okay, it's like a little extra. It's like an extra boost, extra good times.
It's fresh.
Yeah, fresh.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome. I don't want to take too much more of your time, so thank you so much
for
sitting down with me tonight. I really appreciate it.
Appreciate it. Hey, what's up, you guys? I'm Mike Herrera. My band's MXPX, and you're listening to Last Rockers TV.